This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadih. واستن بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to welcome you all to this first session of our new book, in which we will be commencing with Adda' wa Dawa'. And I would especially like to welcome our new members, our new students who are joining us for the first time. The book that we are starting is Adda' والدواء. الدَّاءُ وَالدَّوَاء. First of all, let's go through the title of the book. الدَّاءُ وَالدَّوَاء is what this book has been commonly known as. However, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala himself did not give this book a title. And this is something common. In the past, when they would author books, it was not like how it is in the present, where you have to have a title, you have to have a cover page, etc. They would just write, and they would have scribes to write for them. And sometimes, a book would be without a title. Sometimes it would just be in the form of a question. And that is the case with this book, as we're going to see. It was a question. And the response of Ibn Qayyim ended up becoming an entire book. So later on, the scholars, they gave the book a title. The very first one who we can trace a title back to is the student of Ibn Qayyim, the famous imam and scholar Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala. He gave the book this title, Adda'u wa'd-dawa, which means the disease and the cure. The disease and the cure. However, this book has also been known with another title, and that is Al-Jawab Al-Kafi Liman Sa'ala 'an Ad-Dawa' Ash-Shafi. So we should not get confused that these are two different books. They are two different titles for the same book. Al-Jawab Al-Kafi Liman Sa'ala 'an Ad-Dawa' Ash-Shafi, which means the sufficient answer for the one who asked about the remedial cure. The sufficient answer for the one who asked about the remedial cure. Now, what is this book all about? What is this book about? Basically, as we're going to see, when we go through the introduction, Ibn Qayyim was basically asked a question, right? So this book was a response to a question posed by an individual who had been afflicted by a certain musibah, a certain calamity, a certain trial, a fitna. And he found himself in a very dire state. And he tried everything to cure himself of this problem, and he couldn't find a cure. So he wrote to Ibn Qayyim asking him to basically give him a cure. So the question itself does not mention exactly what his problem was. However, when Ibn Qayyim answers, we can understand that at least Ibn Qayyim understood that what this person, what this individual is going through, is a love affair. He basically seems to be in a haram love affair, you know, a haram relationship, or he is in love with somebody or with some women. Allah knows best. But the way Ibn Qayyim answered the question, you could tell that, you know, that is basically the problem. And so when Ibn Qayyim answered, basically, so what does he go through? What are the contents of this book? Basically, Ibn Qayyim, he starts by mentioning that there is a cure for every problem out there, for every disease, everything out there, as we're going to see today, inshallah ta'ala. And then he talks about specifically, the major sins, and specifically that which is related to a zina, right? Fornication and other acts of immorality, fawahish. After that, he talks about the evil effects of sins. And so he talks about the dangers of sins and how they leave a major effect on the heart and how they affect the person throughout his life. And then he talks about the cure for this particular problem of being in love and the heart being attached to, you know, to others, whether it be to the opposite gender or to the same gender. And so that, again, it shows us the relevance of this topic. You know, nowadays, you know, it's not like in the past, right? We have a major problem, particularly in Western society, but even across the globe, even in Muslim societies, where we have a major problem with these relationships and these haram relationships because of the internet and social media nowadays, and how everything is open before us like never before, and how we have these lewd and immoral images that are, you know, that we are exposed to on a daily basis. You know, it's not like in the past where if you wanted to do something haram, you have to go out of your way and do it. No, now it comes to you. You know, it comes to you in your hands, in your phones, and so on and so forth. And, you know, not only being attracted to the opposite gender, but now we have this other problem nowadays of being attracted to the same gender. And so this shows us the importance of this topic and this particular book, and how Ibn Qayyim, he gives us the cure for these problems. He gives us the cure for these problems. All right, so that is basically what this book is about. As I mentioned, I will be referring to the original work, that the original Arabic script of Ibn Qayyim. However, the book has been translated, and so there are two translations of this book. There is an old translation and a newer translation, and both have been converted into PDF form, so you could easily access both of them online. So the first one, it's called Spiritual Disease and Its Cure. All right. It was called, in English, Spiritual Disease and Its Cure. And this does not really have a year in terms of when it was published. So I don't really know when it was published. The second translation, which is a more recent translation, it was translated, I think, you know, just 2 years ago or so. And this is the one I will probably be referring to. And it is called The Disease and the Cure. The Disease and the Cure. However, both are okay translations. The second being, in my opinion, the second is a more refined translation. The original is also okay. It's an okay translation, but I would prefer the second one. So that is a brief introduction about this book and everything related to it. So now let us get started. We'll basically go through the introduction of Ibn Qayyim, or the introduction of the book as we have it, because as I mentioned, Ibn Qayyim did not really he did not really author this book. He didn't write it like a normal book that has a title and has an introduction. In fact, the way he started it is just going directly into the answer. So he poses the question, and then immediately he goes into the answer. And it seems as if he was asked this question, and someone, one of his students, who was perhaps a scribe, immediately started writing the answer. Right? As we're going to see. And this is not something abnormal, this is not something strange, but rather, it is one of the ways that many books have been authored in the past. It would usually be in the form of a question, and the scholar, being so vast in knowledge, would just go on a long answer with a lot of tangents. And so in the end, we have an entire book in our hands. That was the case with regards to Al-Wasitiyya by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. The famous book of his, Al-Wasitiyya, was in the form of a question. Also his other book, Al-Hamawiyya, it was in the form of a question. And now we have a book with so many commentaries on it, right? So that is the case with this book, Al-Dawa', Al-Da'u wa-Dawa', Al-Da'u wa-Dawa'. So let us get moving on the book. And so immediately it starts with the question. And so the question is, what do the distinguished scholars, the vanguards of the religion, may Allah be pleased with them all, what do they say regarding a man who has been trialed with a calamity and knows that if he was to continue in this, it will destroy him concerning his dunya and his akhirah, despite the fact that he has tried to repel it from himself with every means, however, it only increases in its intensity and strength. So he has tried everything to repel this disease and this problem, but it only becomes stronger. What is the method in repelling it, and how can it be solved? Right? So even you can understand from this that, you know, this problem is related to the heart, and perhaps he's in love with someone, or you know, he has an affair with someone, and it's difficult to detach himself from that, you know, from that relationship. And this can also apply to nowadays, where some of our youth are addicted to images and pornography, where, you know, it's an addiction that, you know, if one does not resolve it in its early stages, then it becomes an addiction that is very, very difficult to basically to resolve. And so, again, you know, we can see how vital and how relevant this book is to this day and age. Never before have we dealt with such a problem like we are dealing with it today. And, you know, the issue of pornography is not that it is an isolated issue. It is, you know, just a few people who are dealing with it. No, it's something very widespread. You know, it's something very widespread in our communities. And not just, again, not just here in the West, but even in Muslim countries. Because as I said, this problem is not where you have to go out of your way, you have to leave your home, you have to go in order to satisfy your desires, you have to go and look for it. No, it's coming to you in the comfort of your home, you know, on your phone, etc. So anyways, this was the question. The questioner, he goes on to say, may Allah have mercy on the one who helps someone who has been afflicted with a calamity. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah is in the aid of his servant as long as he is in the aid of his brother. Provide us with a fatwa. Provide us with a verdict. May you be rewarded. So this is the question. And then the answer comes. The scribe, he says, the Shaykh and the Imam, Shaykh al-Islam, the Grand Mufti, Shamsuddin, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr ibn Ayyub, the leader of Al-Jawzi school in the city of Damascus, in Dimashq. And again, we spoke about this when we covered the life of Ibn al-Qayyim, his biography, how he was the head of the Jawziya school. So the scribe who is writing, he says, Ibn al-Qayyim began to answer the question as follows. So now come the words of Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn al-Qayyim says, he says, all praise belongs to Allah, right? So that's how he starts, that's all he says, and then he goes straight into the topic. He mentions the hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ دَاءَ إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ شِفَاءَ. Allah did not bring down an illness, a disease, except that he brought down a cure for it. And this is a very famous hadith. There is no disease that Allah has sent down on earth except that he has also sent its cure. The other hadith that he mentions, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٍ فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ بَرِئَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And this is in Sahih Muslim. For every illness there is a cure. If the cure matches the illness, it will be cured by the permission of Allah. And after that he mentions other narrations, other versions of this hadith. And after mentioning, you know, the various versions and the various wordings of the hadith, at the very end he says, وَهَذَا يَعُمُّ أَدْوَاءَ الْقَلْبِ وَالْرُوحِ وَالْبَدَنِ وَأَدْوِيَتَهَا. He says, this cure that Allah has sent down is for all illnesses, all diseases that are related to the heart, the soul, and the body. Alright, so it is for everything. When the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah has sent a cure for every disease, he meant by that not only the diseases, the physical illnesses of the body, but also the diseases of the heart and the soul. And then now Ibn al-Qayyim will talk about that. So we know the problems of the body, right? That is a topic left for medicine and medical sciences. And that is not what Ibn al-Qayyim is going to delve into. This is not a book of medicine related to, you know, bodily illnesses and diseases. But rather, what concerns us here is the diseases of the heart and the soul. And what this means is that our heart, our spiritual heart, and our soul, it becomes ill, it becomes sick. And there are certain diseases related to the heart. And that is what Ibn al-Qayyim wants to talk about here. And then he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to give an example of how there is a cure for the diseases of the heart. He says that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned ignorance as a disease. And he made its cure, the Prophet ﷺ made the cure of ignorance to be asking the scholars. Right? That is a cure, that is a remedy for the illness of ignorance. And so he mentions a hadith in this regard. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu an, he said that we went on a journey with the Prophet ﷺ when there was a man who basically became injured in his head. And then he went to sleep and he had a wet dream. So now he has a head injury, but he has to do ghusl. He has to wash himself in order to pray. So he asked his companions, you know, what should I do? You know, do I have the concession and the license to perform tayammum? Because I can't use water, right? I have a head injury. So they said, we believe you do not have that permission because you are able to use water. And so what did he do? He used the water and it entered his head, and that led to his death. He ended up dying as a result. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him about what happened. And the Prophet ﷺ was extremely angry. He said, they have killed him. May Allah, you know, punish them. If only they had asked if they did not know. Surely the cure for ignorance is to ask. It would have sufficed him if he had done tayammum and then wiped over the area instead of, you know, using water to wash his head and his entire body. So Ibn Qayyim says, here the Prophet ﷺ informed us that ignorance is an illness and its cure is to ask. Its cure is to ask. Ask the people of knowledge. And then Ibn Qayyim mentions how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to the Qur'an as a cure. So in the Qur'an, Allah refers to his book as being a shifa. So again, why is Ibn Qayyim mentioning this? Because he's trying to prove that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for every disease there is a cure, it doesn't mean only bodily illnesses and diseases, but it also includes the diseases of the heart. So the Quran is a shifa, it is a cure for the diseases of the heart. And he mentions ayat in this regard. So we have the ayah in Surah Fussilat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. Say, it is for those who believe a guidance and a cure. Meaning the Quran is for those who believe a guidance and a cure. And Allah also says in Surah Al-Isra, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءً وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And we reveal from the Quran what is a cure and a mercy for the believers. We reveal from the Quran. So here, when Allah says from the Quran, it means that any part of the Quran is a cure. So not one particular place in the Quran, only certain ayat can be used as a cure. No, the entire Quran is a cure and a mercy for the believers. And so Ibn Qayyim says, it is a cure for the hearts from the illness of ignorance and doubts and misgivings, right? So, you know, whatever deviant beliefs that people have out there, the Quran has an answer for all of those doubts and all of those deviant beliefs. Ibn Qayyim, he says, thus, Allah did not reveal a cure from the heavens that is more comprehensive, beneficial, or more powerful or inclusive in eradicating an illness than the Quran. So the Quran is a cure for everything, not only the diseases of the heart and the soul, but also for the body. Also for the body. Because here we are talking about the words of Allah, right? The words of Allah are not like the words of any human being. The words of Allah are uncreated, as is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The words of Allah are from His kalam, His speech. And His speech is one of His attributes. And none of the attributes of Allah are created. They are from His very essence, just like Allah is uncreated, likewise all of His attributes. And that includes His speech. So, His words are from outside of this world. When they, when they are recited and they are heard, they cure what is in the hearts and the souls, as well as bodily diseases. Right? And that is what Ibn al-Qayyim now mentions. He mentions how the Quran is a cure for even bodily ailments and illnesses. He mentions the long hadith and the story, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, the story of a group of the companions who basically had traveled, and they reached an area where there was a tribe, and they asked them to host them. So they asked if they could stay over, but that tribe refused to host them. So what happened was the chief of the tribe ended up becoming bitten by a snake, or he was stung by a scorpion. And they tried their best to cure him, but they were not able to. So some of them, some of the members of this tribe, they said, nothing has worked. So why don't we go to those people, referring to the Sahaba, maybe they have a cure. So they went to the Sahaba and they told them what happened. And they said, we've tried everything. Nothing has worked. Do you have a cure? So one of them, he said, yes, by Allah, I can recite something, you know, do ruqya. However, because you refuse to accept us as your guests, I will not do the ruqya unless you give us a wage. So I'm going to do it for money. So they agreed. They agreed to basically pay the Sahaba a flock of sheep. So one of the companions, he went and he recited Surah Al-Fatiha on the chief. And all of a sudden, the chief, he woke up and he got up. The narration mentions he got up like someone who was shackled in chains, and he all of a sudden gets up and is walking with no signs of being in bondage, of being shackled. And then they ended up paying what they had agreed on. Anyways, they went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they told him what happened. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companion, how did you know that Surah Al-Fatiha should be recited as ruqya? How did you know? And so the companion, he said, Surah Al-Fatiha is the opening of the Quran, and it must be a cure. So anyways, the Prophet ﷺ said, what you did is right. And he even asked for a share of the sheep. So this shows us that Surah Al-Fatiha and the Quran in general is a cure for even physical ailments. And Ibn Qayyim, he says, as it is evident, this remedy had an effect on this illness and eradicated it as if it never existed. It is the easiest remedy. And the least effort is required for it. And so if someone does it properly, recites Surah Al-Fatiha, he will find an amazing effect for it. He will find an amazing effect for it. And then he mentions a personal story of his. Ibn Qayyim, he says, I spent some time in Mecca. Ibn Qayyim was not from, you know, Mecca or Medina. He was from Ash-Sham, from Syria. And so he traveled, perhaps for Hajj or Umrah, and he spent time in Mecca, perhaps several months. He says, I fell ill. He had an illness. And he says, I could not find a doctor for a cure. So I would treat myself with Fatihatul Qur'an, with Surah Al-Fatiha. And I would find that it had an amazing effect. I found that it would have an amazing effect. And so it cured him of whatever illness he had. He says, so I would prescribe this to anyone who complains of an illness, and they would do it and they would be swiftly cured. So this shows us the amazing and powerful effect of Surah Al-Fatiha. And so obviously when it comes to Ruqya, there are we can use any part of the Quran, but certain parts of the Quran are more effective than others. And Ruqya is something that can be performed not only for, you know, jinn possession or black magic or the evil eye or anything related to the soul or the heart, but as we can see from these two examples, it can also be used for physical ailments. If you have pain on your body, or you know, you have an injury, just place your hand there and recite the Quran, recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, and other parts of the Quran, along with the various adhkar that have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mentioned some of these adhkar and du'as in the previous book that we went through, Al-Wabil As-Sayyib, because that book was all about the dhikr of Allah, and Ibn Qayyim mentioned various adhkar and du'as there. Ibn Qayyim then, after mentioning all of this, he says, however, here there is an important point that we have to consider. So now he's going to mention that in order for any cure to work, for any treatment to work, there have to be two conditions present. He says these adhkar and these ayat of the Quran and these du'as that we use for in ruqya and to cure ourselves with, they are beneficial without a doubt. They will cure. However, two things are required. The first is they require acceptance from the place they are applied on. So the heart and the soul, or, you know, any other part of the body where you are trying to do ruqya for. So the place has to accept it. And number two, a discerning strength from the one who is applying that ruqya. So let's say it's someone else you brought to do ruqya for you. That person, he has to have iman and yaqeen, and he has to have a strong will that I want to cure this person. It's not that he's saying the adhkar with an absent mind or just like a habit that, you know, he does, but rather he has to put all of his focus and energy into it. And then Ibn Qayyim says, whenever a cure is delayed, it is either from a weakness in the effect that the applicant has, or a lack of acceptance from the patient. right? So either the problem is the patient or the doctor, or from something else that is preventing the remedy from having its effect. He says, as is the case with traditional medicine. So sometimes you use medicine and it doesn't work for you. Why? Because your particular body, you know, doesn't accept it. It works for others, but it doesn't work for you. And this is normal. You know, we have this example in traditional medicine or conventional medicine, even the medicines of today. So something is blocking the medicine from basically working. And so you go back to the doctor and you complain. And so the doctor suggests another medicine, right? Or he looks for, you know, why is the medicine not working? And so he finds that there's something else. There's another problem, right? And so that's what Ibn Qayyim mentions here. He says, just like the body, you know, sometimes, the nature of the body doesn't accept the remedy, or the doctor did not prescribe the right medicine, right? Likewise, if the heart wholly accepts the ruqya and the various adhkar, while the one performing the procedure does so with full enthusiasm and care, then it will have an effect in eradicating the illness. It will have an effect in eradicating the illness. But here I want to add one more thing. And this is something very important. And this is basically an important rule concerning qadr. And the means that Allah has placed in our hands to achieve our goals. So you want something and you strive to achieve it, and it should work, right? The means leading to something should work. But sometimes it doesn't work. Why? And the answer comes in this rule. The means do not cause effect on their own, but rather by Allah's decree for them to work. The means do not cause effect on their own. However, they only cause the effect by Allah's decree, by Allah's permission, by the qadr of Allah. This is something very, very important to note here. And so if Allah wants, He can, you know, prevent the means from causing their desired effect. Let me give you examples of this. Fire burns. We all know this. So fire is a means of destroying something, right? So that is the means. The means, which is fire, it causes an effect. What is that effect? It burns and destroys whatever it comes in contact with. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not allow that to happen in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire, did the fire burn him? No. Why? Because Allah prevented it from happening. Right? So normally it should burn, but it didn't. And we have numerous other examples of that. Rain. When it falls on the ground, it's supposed to produce vegetation and greenery. Sometimes it doesn't happen, right? Likewise, how do we reproduce? You know, how do we have children? There is a method, and that is through nikah and getting married and basically having intimate relations. However, although this is the means of producing children, sometimes it doesn't happen, right? Why doesn't it happen? Because of the decree of Allah. Allah didn't allow the means to work in that case. And so there are men and women who are not able to produce. right? They've tried everything, but it didn't work. Why? Because Allah blocked the means from having their desired effect. So likewise with medicine, right? Sometimes medicine, it works. Sometimes it doesn't. The means is there. However, it doesn't always work. So although that is the case with, bodily illnesses and sicknesses, the same can be said with regards to the sicknesses and the diseases of the heart and the soul. And so Ibn Qayyim, he mentions all of this as an introduction, right, for this questioner. That you have a problem, I understand what your problem is, I'm going to give you the cure, but understand from the very onset. Right? Understand. Yes, Allah has sent down a cure for every disease, including whatever problem you're going through. There is a cure for it. However, this cure, it will only work by the decree of Allah. It will only work by Allah's will and His decree. It won't work on its own, right? So these are the means that Allah has placed on earth. They don't work on their own, but rather they only work by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, so that is where we'll stop for today. After this, Ibn Qayyim talks about one of the most beneficial means for curing any illness, and that is a dua. So he's going to talk about a dua, and we'll leave that for next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So we'll see you all next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.